should I love that person or not? We get to love everybody because you've given us enough love and enough grace to do that generously. We're so thankful you've set us free to do that, Jesus. Thank you for loving us when we were far, far from you and weren't worthy of your love, certainly. We love you so much and praise you for that, Jesus. It's in your name. Amen. All right. Students, go ahead and head out to junior church. I think Lisa's up and Lisa's ready for you. You got a handful of things in your bulletin as they're working their way back to junior church. I want you to actually get this little guy out, connection card that's in front of you, in the pew in front of you. We're going to be doing a little something with that. Please take some time right now and fill out, that sounded a little like harsh. Please take some time and fill that out. Let us know you're here. That just helps us know who's here, track attendance, all that kind of stuff. Let us know how you learned about the church or if you're a visitor, so forth. Let us know if there's ways in which we can serve you. And let us know if there's ways in which you want to jump in a little deeper in ministry at the church, connecting with others in a small group. We've got a midweek small group questions. This is really our primary way of discipling you, having a process for growing in the Lord. Worship is awesome, but it's not discipleship, right? It's worship. And so if you want to grow deeper and get to know some folks and really grow in your walk with the Lord, this is our primary way of doing that, with small group questions from the sermon each week. So just be mindful of that and contact us if you want to be involved in a small group. That would be fantastic. And also on that next steps part, we don't have this on here, but I'm going to put it on there. We need some help keeping up the grounds just around the church, in particular the grass. And so one of the things we're doing is we're transitioning our elders, our pastors, out of doing everything, right? Who mowed the grass yesterday? One of your pastors mowed the grass yesterday. And you know what pastors are? They're shepherds. They're supposed to be with people, right? And so one of the things I want to challenge us as a church is if you're here and you're not a pastor shepherd and you need something to do, sign up, talk to Gene Everard. We just need the grass mowed once a week. You don't have to do it every week. We want to get a handful of people, a guy, gal, we don't care. Just mowing the grass. If you want to do it once a month, that would be fantastic. Just put a little note on there that you'd like to do that if you're interested in that. Not everybody has grass to mow around here. It's not like you have your own yard, right? You spend a couple hours on your own mower. We know that, and that grass is growing too, so just be mindful of that. We've got our men's breakfast coming up next Saturday, 7 to 9 at Stockman's. And then we've actually got a graduation celebration. We've got three graduates in the house today. Brenna graduating to high school, Tobin and Emma graduating from high school. So we're going to honor them in the fireside room here after the service just with some coffee and some treats. I'm going to hand them out a book that maybe they'll read sometime in like their early 30s. They'll dust it off on their shelf and they'll go, oh yeah, my pastor gave that to me and I wonder if there's anything good in there. I don't know, there might be. But, you know, it remains to be seen. But with that in mind, I hope you've got this little guy in your hand. If you've got a pen or a pencil, get one of those too, because here's what I want you to do. I want you to put any prayer requests that you've got on here. Please let us know of how we can be praying for you. Let us know what's going on out there. A lot can happen in a week, let alone a day. So let our pastoral team and our prayer team know how we can be praying for you. And also, here's what I want you to do. Here's your chance. Here's your chance to write a Hallmark card, a good one. Not a bad one, a good one. If you could tell these graduates anything, you could just say, you know what? This is what you need to know about what lies ahead. If this is your chance to just give them that one little dense nugget that you've unearthed, you know, through your life, whether it's been 30 years, 65 years, 80 years, I don't care what it is. I want you to say, you know what, Tobin? You know what, Emma? This is what you need to know. This is what I've learned. And I just want you to, right now, I want you to just think through, what would that be? What would that dense little life lesson, and since we're in church, since this isn't just some random secular setting, since we're in church, can you make it something Christian? Make it something that's like Christ-centered. So I just want you to think through, what would you say to our three graduates to say this one thing to them, knowing what lies ahead? Because my guess is if you're here and you're not them, you know, you're not graduating into high school, or you're not graduating out of high school, you've learned a thing or two. You've been through a thing or two. You've suffered a thing or two. You've had some incredible highs. You know, you've been promoted. Maybe you've never made more money than you're making right now. You've got great health insurance. Maybe you've just had some incredible highs. Maybe you've moved into a new house, or you're able to expand your property, or you made another purchase, or you've expanded your company, and you've had some incredible highs. You know, you just celebrated a 25-year anniversary, or 30, or 50. So you've got these highs, these mountaintops, and you've been in some valleys. You've suffered some really big losses, and they're real. They're not like spiritual. They're losses. Many of you here are widowed. You've lost your life partner, and you're here this morning, and there's an empty space in your chair right there, your pew next to you. You've been in the valley. You've lost your health. And that's not a spiritual thing. That's a physical thing. You know, it just hurts to sit down. It hurts to get up. It hurts to walk. You know, you've lost, you know, your health. Maybe you're here and you're in good health, but man, you know, it's not like I was. You've lost your health. Or maybe you're healthy now, but you know what? You know that it's coming. One day you're going to lose that. So you've been on some mountaintops. I hope you're writing. Can you write something down? Just write something. Write just a one little thing. I'm actually going to take these, and if I get a bunch of blanks, I'm going to be kind of bummed. I'm actually going to take these and look at them. I'm going to write them out, kind of consolidate them, give them to our graduates, right? Something Christian. You've been on the high with Christ. You've walked on the mountaintop, and he's taken you to the valley too. Right? The shepherd's hand has led you through some dark places, and you've been in the... What would you say to him? What would you say to him to go, you know what? I've got 40 years or 60 years or 80 years behind me. Here's how I would encourage you. What would you say? We've got one verse, and this is usually providential when the Lord does this. I arrange the schedule, right? I have to rearrange it because things are always changing, but we've set it up to where this one last verse at the end of John 14 through 16 meets us as we get ready to encourage our graduates getting into or out of high school. And it's one of those things where I just want, my prayer for us this morning is that this one verse would wash over us. This one verse would fill us up. This one verse would sink into your bones so you believe it. And as I'm saying it, I believe it maybe a little bit more this morning. We're all tempted to go, yeah, I've read that, Pastor. I understand that. I'm tempted to go, yeah, I understand what Jesus is saying there. And then you hear Jesus saying, do you, Peter? Do you, Marcus? Do you really? And so here it is, John 16, 33. If I could say something to you, this is what we've just scheduled, right, for the sermon, but this is what I have to say to you, because this is what Jesus says in John 16, 33 to the graduates. I've told you all of these things. I've told you all of these things so that in me you'll have peace. I've told you all of these things so that in me you'll have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But take heart, I've overcome the world. That's it. There's no more to it. That's all there is. But there's a lot there. I've told you these things. What things? Well, the whole sermon, you know, John 14 through 16, that whole farewell discourse as we've been looking at for the last 2.5 months. I've told you these things. Chapter 14, I've told you I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but through me. I've told you that. I've told you that chapter 15, stay with me. If you stay with me, you're going to bear fruit. You're going to experience pruning, but you're also going to bear fruit. You're going to experience suffering because you're connected to me, but stay with me. Just stay with me like a branch is connected to the vine. I've told you these things, John 15. I've told you these things, John 16, that it's actually better for me to go away and go back to my Father, because if I don't, I can't give you the Spirit. And you're not going to be able to pray like the way I pray. You're not going to be able to have that one-on-one kind of father or daughter-son relationship to the Father. You're not going to have new power like I've promised you with the Spirit. I've told you these things so that you may have peace. Now, peace in Jesus' mind is not what the world talks about when we talk about peace. When we say world peace, what do we mean? We mean no conflict. We mean everybody plays nice, which we know will never happen, right? I mean, the world is always working and dropping bombs and playing political games to try to establish peace, and it's just always outside of our grasp. We can never quite get our hands on it. So don't make the mistake, graduates, and don't make the mistake, church, and don't make the mistake, pastor, that when Jesus says, I've come to bring you peace, that he means no conflict. You know, you can just kick up your feet. Because what does he say? What does he say right out of the next sentence? He says, "You're going to have tribulation." So it can't mean that when he says, "I've settled these things so that you might have peace." He's just saying, "I'm telling you, in me, you'll have peace. You'll have peace. Peace in the midst of great tribulation. Peace in the midst of great heartache. Peace in the midst of probably great loss. You're going to have peace, and it's not a peace that." It's not like a natural peace, it's a supernatural peace. How do Christian people manage to make it through losing so much and somehow just have a measure of peace? It's a Jesus peace. It's a supernatural peace. It's something he said he'd give us. He told us all these things. And as I was meditating on this passage, the one phrase that just stuck in my mind, it just jumped off the page, I didn't even realize it was there, was it said, Jesus says, "I've told you these things," and then here it was, "so that in me, you'll have peace." You're not going to have peace outside of Jesus. You're just not going to, but in him, you'll have peace. Not like the world gives, like he said in John 14, but it's just a unique, supernatural peace that it'll give you strength through tribulations. Tribulations! Graduates? Church? Well, as I'm trying to challenge you to write something down, I'm saying, what would you tell them? But what would you tell them? Well, why would they need encouragement? Because you know, don't you? There's things to come. There's mountains to climb. There's health that's going to be lost. You're going to marry someone. And you might bury them. Not might. You will. It's not like, you know, it might come. No, it's coming, right? And many of you have been there. I'm challenging you to like think about it, right? What would you say? Because you know, just as Jesus says, tribulations are coming, tough times are coming, and I see these in layers. There's general tribulations that just come with being human. Right? It's not like Christians have to bury their husbands or wives or Christians lose their job. It's just human stuff. Everybody does that. Everybody goes through that stuff, right? It's just part of living in a broken world. So he's saying, in me you're gonna have peace because I've told you these things and tribulation's coming, but that's just general. I mean, everybody goes through that. You're going to have peace through all of that because I've told you these things and I'm going to give you peace. But there's maybe a deeper layer of tribulation. There's the tribulation everybody goes through, and there's tribulation that only you and I go through. Like, there's going to be tribulations going to be coming because of precisely the one you're following. Like, the one you're following is going to get you into trouble because you're following him. And the world doesn't like him all the time. They don't always have sympathy for what he's about and who he is. They're often antagonistic. I mean, Jesus promised us that as we've looked at his words in the last couple of months. And he even says it's not that they hate you, they hate me. They hated me first, right? So if you follow me, if you're attached to me, don't be surprised if the world hates you. They hated me a long time ago before they hated you. So there's like general tribulation, general struggles, general losses. Then there's like pointed losses that by us saying, man, I want to follow that guy. You may know what that that's like. Maybe you've had a promotion, you've been able to have a possible promotion at work, and your boss didn't think too highly or didn't have very much sympathy for the fact that you followed Jesus. It wasn't like, oh, therefore I'm going to give you the promotion. It was, no, because of that, I'm going to give this guy or this gal the promotion. So you've suffered a loss because you followed Jesus. You've been slighted. Your reputation's been run through the mud. People are just out and out against you. Had anybody go, oh, you're a Christian? And rather than going, oh, that's great. They go, you're a Christian? And then just here comes they hurl the insult. They whisper to their friends or they throw a remark your way. Right? Tribulation's coming, and it can be as small as just a little remark. And Jesus promised it could be as big as losing your entire life for it. Tribulation's coming. Now here's where it comes, though. So he promised peace in the midst of great tribulation, and then what does he say? But, thank the Lord, there's this turning point in this passage. But take heart, and that's a soft translation. Take heart means like, well, okay, well, hang in there, you know, we'll get through it. No. Take heart, tarseo, means to be courageous, be bold, risk it all. I've told you these things so that you may have peace. I've told you these things so that in me you'll have peace. You're going to have great tribulation in the world. But be bold is the idea. Be courageous. Risk it all. Because I've overcome the world. Jesus has won. Jesus has won. Jesus is going to go into our biggest battle, into our biggest nemesis, into our greatest fears, the thing we keep pushing back. Oh, I hope that doesn't come. I hope that doesn't come. Or the thing that all of our struggles are connected to, eventually death, that ultimate loss of our loved ones, even our own life. Jesus wins. And he says, because he wins, be bold, be courageous. The idea, the assumption is this, is that because Jesus has won, we win. Right? It's a shared victory. It's not like Jesus wins and the church goes, hey, good for Jesus. You know, what about... But I hope you're not following Jesus because he's a loser. He's a loser first, and then he's what? A winner. He loses so that he can win. Right? We're not just following the cross out of morbid. No, we follow him to the cross because we know on the other side is an empty tomb. Right? God cares about winning. God's a winner. The very word is probably on half your guys' shoes. Nike. Nike is the goddess of victory in ancient Roman Greek culture. Look, we aren't the only people, modern people aren't the only people that worship winning. I mean, we've been worshiping winning for thousands of years. We just, you know, Phil Knight said, oh, winning, people like winning, and branded that, and he's a billionaire, or whatever, right? Right? We've been worshiping winning for thousands of years. God's a winner. Jesus wins. And if you're in Jesus, the hope is that you get to share, I get to share in that victory, that death doesn't have the last word, that it's not all a sham, that it doesn't all for nothing. Jesus says, you're going to experience great trial, great tribulation. You're going to have great losses. You're going to have high points and good years and losses. And you're going to, at the end, I mean, you're going to lose everything. But be bold. Be courageous. Why? Because ultimately, you win. Ultimately, there's not anything that the world can take away that somehow or in some way God's not going to give back to you in the world to come. That the experience of Jesus' resurrection as he makes this tattered body of Jesus new is what we're going to experience in a new body, on a new heavens and a new earth, according to the last chapter of Revelation. Jesus is saying, look, it's going to be hard out there, but be bold. You can't lose, ultimately. You can't lose. This idea of being courageous isn't just like a sham. It's not a farce. It's not a be courageous, but, you know, it's going to end badly. No. Jesus, with all confidence, says to graduates and to people who are, you know, we're all still here moving forward, aren't we? We're all still here. Maybe you're in the midst of a trial right now. You know, you want to say, oh, I want to tell the graduates because I'm in a trial, you know? You need to hear, just as much as the graduates, I need to hear, be bold. Risk it all. I'm wrestling with the idea of what courage means. There's a lot of ways you could probably define courage. I've had a lot of... Just think through what courage is. When you think of movies and you think of courageous people that take these actions where you go, man, that person or that guy or that gal is courageous. What does it mean to be courageous? I'm looking at this passage in John 16:33 with peace on this side and victory on this side and courage right in the middle. The thing that's coming to my mind is this. Somebody who's bold and somebody who's courageous, they act like they've already won. And that's what courage is. I think courage enables you to act in the midst of a trial like you've already won. That's what it is. It's not like, it's different than you know, where you go, man, I'm not sure if we're going to win, but let's be courageous because that courage is going to see us through. That courage is going to be what's going to ensure victory. It might not, but it might. So let's be bold. Let's be courageous. If that is courage in the face of unsure victory, how much more courageous should we be if victory's already been secured? I think that's what courage is. Graduates, be bold. Act like you've already won. Why? Because you have. Jesus doesn't say, I think I might overcome the world in a little bit. I'm not sure, but I think we might secure that. No. He says that even before he goes to the cross. This is something that's accomplished, going to be accomplished. It's never going to be undone. Be bold. Base your life on that. You know, without this, everything is a total loss. But with it, you don't ultimately lose anything. There isn't anything that you could lose that somehow God isn't going to gift you back with. Act like you've already won. Because You already have. If there's one thing I could say, it'd just be what Jesus says, right? Be bold, be courageous. I've told you these things so that you may have peace. I've told you these things so that in me you'll have peace. You're going to have great tribulation, graduates, and church, and me, and you, and we're all there, right? We know that's coming, but be bold and act like you've already won, because in Jesus you already have. And that's going to take maybe a handful of different applications. I mean, that could be everything from, man, be bold when you know you've lost a job and you go, I don't see way out of this. I mean, be bold and say, Lord, help me out of this. Enforce your victory in the midst of this loss and just act like you've already won, because you're not alone in that. God's going to take care of you. He's promised that. He wants to see your needs met. Be bold. Be bold when the day comes when you lose your health and you find yourself just going down into a pit, you get all negative, and you feel like giving up on life. Maybe boldness looks like standing up in all of your whatever sick condition you're in, or just day after day or week or year after year going to receive treatment for a condition. Boldness might just look like owning your life, not giving up. Not that you're expecting a cure, but just say, I've got some life left here to live, and I want to live it well, and I want to live it for the glory of God. That's maybe what courage looks like. Be bold. Act like you've already won. Why? Because you have. Right? In Christ, we're sharing in that victory. That victory has already been established, and we're drawing on it now, and one day, not even death can take it away. God's going to take us in our dead state, and he's going to take our spirit, and he's going to unite it with a new body, and we're never going to die again. There's nothing that will be taken from you that won't someday be given back to you. And the cool thing, I think the thing that makes people interested in the church is not that we have the right answers, or that we're so smart, or that we're humble, or all that, but it's they see a boldness, they see a surety, they see a confidence, acting like we've already won, because we know we have. And it's not arrogance, it's not overconfidence like we talked about last week, right? It's humble confidence. It's saying the only reason I win is because he won, right? So I could send you out the door, as I will here shortly. Let's actually have the worship team come up. It's a short one. Short one. I preach many long sermons. Let's make this a quick one. Let's come on up, worship team, and get ready to close this down. As we get ready to go have treats and snacks and just rub shoulders and be together and encourage one another and have fun and get a sugar high and all that fun stuff. Yeah, that's going to be good. Yeah. My kid just came off a sugar high yesterday. We're going to do another one, so that's great. So as we're getting ready to go celebrate, I pray that Jesus' words are just resonating or maybe finding root in our heart. Be bold. Be bold, because I will act like you've already won, because you have. Let's stand. Let's sing.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I long to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I long to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
So we can let the words wash over us. Jesus says, I've told you these things, so you can have peace in me. In the world, you're going to have great tribulations, but take heart, be bold, act like you've already won, because you have. Let's let that sink into us as we go and just enjoy one another's company around some coffee and some snacks. Let's have a great morning together. Okay, God bless.